Thanks. I appreciate you coming. Thanks for coming up.
Well.
Don't you get sick of that formalness in church? You know, that, oh, for heaven's sakes. Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is a psalm. It was written to the choristers, the son of Korah, the great chorister family of Israel. They were the ones that were used by God to put together music, arrangements, singing, and they did a great deal of the songs at worship, at thanks days, at days where they were feasting. It was an incredible group of people, and I don't mean a small group, I mean a large group, and they sang these choruses. In this psalm, the psalmist uses some descriptive words to paint a picture for us of God. This psalm is a worship psalm. It calls out the desire of the people of Israel that during the days of tabernacle worship, they were there to enjoy the presence of God as they worshiped in the temple. They declared their longing to attend there and be there. If they were absent, they wanted to be back in that place where they could worship God. It's always good to get together with God's people, amen? And though this is not a temple, you are a temple, this is not a temple, but we do worship here, and we do have the joy of being together and worshiping with God. And so this little psalm is given to us, and the verse we want to look at is verse 11, because it paints an incredible picture for us. Verse 11 of Psalm 84 says this, "For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly," all God's people said. Amen. Is God all I need? Is he provision enough? Is he protection enough? Is he compassion enough? What did the sons of Korah mean when they sang this song and these words, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield"? What on earth could that mean? What was its significance? Well, I think of just five things right off the bat before we get into the sermon. Number one, that no matter how far God seems away from you, his distance, the sun's a long way from us, 93 point some million miles away. That's a bunch. It's a long distance away. And no matter how far away the sun is, or how far away the Lord seems, his distance from us is really closer at hand than we really understand, because the Bible says he not only is a sun, but he is a shield, something that's held close to us. It's a protective picture. It's a provisional picture. It's a near picture. The Lord is a sun and a shield. No matter how far away the Lord seems, he is ever close at hand like a shield. All God's people said. It declares God's greatness and God's gentleness. The sun is a great light. The Bible said that in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. He made two great lights. The sun is one of them. It's a great light. In fact, I don't know if you know this, most religions in the past worshipped the sun. Egypt's primary god was Ra, the god of the sun. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped something they couldn't understand, that they couldn't figure out. They wrapped their mind around it. But God is a sun. In essence, it's saying God is greater than anything he's ever created. God is a sun. It shows his greatness. But it says God is a shield, his gentleness. How is a shield pictured gentleness? I don't know if you know this, there were several size shields that Israel used. Very large ones for those who were in the front of the battle. They were so big that they could put it on the ground, the bottom, and stand behind it and be protected from the arrows or whatever was being shot or thrown at them. But they also were big enough that you could grab one end, another man could grab another, and they could literally become transport for those who were wounded. Not only was a large shield that could protect you if you were wounded, it carried the sick, protected the weak, it guarded the wounded. Gentle. It also declares God's holiness and his benevolence. The sun is pure, unapproachable light. You get too close to it, you would be consumed. It's pure, unapproachable light, just like God's holiness. God is pure and unapproachable light. But it pictures benevolence. The sun is a benevolent, shining light on the good, the bad, the rich, the poor, providing health and help, provision like the shield. It declares our privilege to have the sun, all God's people said. Aren't you glad that when you get up in the morning, regardless of how cold it was the day before, how bad it was the day before, or how dark it was at night, that sure as you're sleeping, when you wake up, the sun's going to be there. Amen? It rises and it sets, and it rises again and it sets, and it rises again. Declares our privilege to have such a thing. And then I think it certainly shows God's utter and complete efficiency. Amen? Sun's an efficient vehicle. It gets the job done. We used to catch big black ants. This is how terrible I was. We had little... Remember Dick Tracy? How many know who Dick Tracy is? Some of you, we're way beyond you. You could order from the Dick Tracy address a Dick Tracy kit. He was an investigator. And in this kit was a little magnifying glass, plastic thing. We used to catch those ants, wait till the sun got as high as it was. How many got the picture now? We'd heat them up. Cook them. I mean, it was incredible how efficient the sun at 93 million miles away was to get that job done. In fact, I was watching a show where a guy is Bear Grylls. How many have ever seen him? He goes out and stays out in the elements. And they were wanting to start a fire, and he had a little piece of glass and got the sun just right and started a fire with it. The sun is efficient. It's an efficient help for us, an encouragement for us. So when you think about the sons of Korah writing this incredible little psalm, they were writing about the importance of how the sun cares for us, how the shield provides for us. So let's look at this morning and notice just three or four things. Number one, what God is. Number two, what God does, what he gives to us. Number one, notice what God is. The Lord God, it's interesting he uses those two words together, Jehovah Elohim, both not only the first place God, the number one God, the only God, but the most powerful God, Elohim. So God, Jehovah Elohim, are the two descriptive names for God that declare his greatness as to who he is, and his power as to what he does. The Lord God is. It dispels any question about the greatness of God. And this distinctive phrase, the Lord God is a son, denotes that God's greatness, a shield, God's care, his providence, his protection are with every single believer, all God's people said. The sun gives health and strength. It revives. It rejuvenates. The sun is always the same. The sun cannot be fathomed. The sun is bigger than all other planets. The sun is the easiest to see. The sun is the greatest and most generous of all the planets. Mars does nothing for you. The sun does. The sun is good for all and for everything we have and everything we need. Thank God for the sun. And the Bible says the Lord God, our Jehovah Elohim, is a sun. You ever thought about the sun? The sun dispels darkness. It can be pitch black as night. When the sun comes up, the darkness flees. It dispels darkness. When you met Christ, he dispelled the darkness. He dispelled the darkness of your sin. He dispels the darkness of your past. The devil liked to haunt you every day with your past, but God, our Son, dispels that darkness. He dispels the darkness of superstition. He dispels the darkness of doubts. The sun dispels darkness. Our Jehovah Elohim is the dispeller of darkness, all God's people said. The sun reveals, illuminates, lights the way, shows the difficulty, declares the danger. I'm glad we have something to guide us, something that will clear the path, that will show the way, that'll bring us home. The sun does that. The sun is the object in our solar system that is the center of power, all God's people said. God is the complete and utter source of all power. All power. The sun actually gets its strength from its creator. And so they pick the most significant planet in our solar system to say that kind of represents God. It's so powerful. And God is all powerful. God is the complete and unequivocal source of all power. There's no place else you can go to get it. God is our sun, our provisional power source for every need in the Christian life, all God's people said. So it says the Lord God is a sun, and it says the Lord God is a shield. The shield really pictures God's nearness and his protective plan for our lives, his provisional work for us. A shield is placed between you and the enemy. Amen? It's for protection. It's to guard you. It's there for a purpose. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen? The shield is our protection. You don't go into battle in this day. You did not go into battle without a shield. You would get wounded, you could lose your life. It would be terrible to be in that position when you're being attacked. Well, God is a protective shield placed between you and the enemy. God stands between you and your greatest foe, like the large shield. You can take rest under its impenetrable protection. Like a strong shield that will guard you and guide you. Like an ever-present shield. It's always there for you. Amen? Like an unfailing shield. It's adequate for every phase of battle. The Lord is a sun and a shield. Isn't that interesting? This little verse, the choristers must have sang this over and over again, praising God that he reminds them of our sun and the shield used in battle. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The second part of this message, this text tells us that God gives something. The Lord God, it says, will give grace and glory. You may want to write this little thought down. Grace for here, glory for there. It's a picture that God wants us to get, that while you're here on earth, God provides you all the grace you need. Grace is simply unmerited favor. And God shines on us the favor that He has for us around the clock 24/7. He doesn't run out of grace. He has it available in abundance for every Christian. And if grace is unmerited favor, then there's nothing you can do to get it. Amen? God gave you grace so you could be saved. You didn't earn it. God gives you grace so you can live the Christian life. You can't merit it. He gives it freely. And the sense of this one little word gives is the sense that it is absolutely yours by the grace of God. It's free. Can be earned. So God gives His unmerited favor to save us, to sustain us, to keep us, to protect us, to encourage us. Grace for here. And this grace that God gives us will take you all the way home. All God's people said. But Pastor, I'm discouraged. Doesn't matter. You've got grace. Pastor, what happens if? Doesn't matter. You've got grace. And grace is for here. But glory is for there. In fact, the picture that it's giving us, this glory, means change. We will be changed into His glory. We will someday get a glorified body, all God's people said. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Look around. I'm glad I'm going to be more like Jesus then. Amen? Glorified body. Secondly, glory means position, not just a change, but a position. We will, with Him, be glorified in Him in heaven, all God's people said. And thirdly, glory means vision. Our eyes someday will see the King in His beauty. We'll get to see God. Oh, that will be glory for me. And fourthly, glory means eternal. When you get to heaven, glory means it doesn't get better than that. It means it's so great, it exceeds any of your possible wildest thought when we get glorified. And it means that we will have the potential and the ability and the joy of worshiping God 24/7 around the clock. We will receive a far more and exceeding and eternal, the Bible says, weight of glory. All God's people said. So this verse tells us what God is, what God gives, and it tells us also what God does. Here's what it says, that God will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. All God's people said. Now, before you get too pumped about this, that doesn't mean because you absolutely want a new Corvette or a new Porsche or a Land Rover that, bingo, you're going to get it tomorrow or tonight. Amen? That'd be nice. But He doesn't say He's going to take care of your wants. He'll supply your what? Your needs. What does God not withhold? Any good thing. Does not mean as you see it, but as God sees it. Sometimes things are given by God that don't seem so good. How many are with me? You ever gotten sick? Have been rushed to the hospital? Got a cancer? Why would God allow that? Why would God give me that? Why is that in my life? Every good thing and every perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He does not change. And so what he gives you is exactly right for you at the right time, in the right season, in the right amount. God gives us sometimes sickness, sometimes loss, sometimes difficulty of life. But they are all good and for our good. He does not withhold any good thing. Sometimes things we think are good are withheld from us because God knows that they aren't so good. Amen? Sometimes what we think is going to be the best thing for us is the worst thing for us. Sometimes what we think is the total good we need is not the total good we need. Anything and everything that God says is good for us, He will give us. He will not withhold it. And who's he talking to here? Those who walk uprightly. You know what that means? Those that model Christ. That's all it means. Does it mean you're perfect? No. Make no mistakes? No. It means that in your heart you're striving to be every day more like Jesus. Little course, be like Jesus is my song. In the home, in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. Who are you like? What are you striving for? Who are you living for? What are you living like? To them that walk uprightly, all God's people said. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Lord, help us to walk the way you would have us to walk, to live the way you would have us to live, and to realize your greatness, your provision, your complete desire to be all for us that we ever need. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.